Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody.
Touching his nipples, Murph.
Stop.
Caldwell tweaked his freaking nips.
Stop, Caldwell.
Oh, when I tweak, it's not okay?
No one else tweaks. People tweak in-game. You're tweaking
out
in real
game.
Life.
I'm bringing it into the real world. I'm bringing it into the here sphere.
All right. Welcome to Short Rest, everybody. I'm your direct messenger. Nope, sorry. Just regular old Brian Murphy. But I am here with the boot. Daddy, hard one, Surefoot.
No, just the sneakerhead, Jake Hurwitz. I'm not a sneakerhead. I'm
kidding.
You do always have, you wait in long lines for whatever goes on your foot.
That's right. I just wear Vans, but I like to wait in a line.
But we do have a crick elf known for yanking people out of swords, Moonshine Sybin.
Oh, no. Actually, unfortunately, no. It's just Emily Axford, known for yanking people out of burning buildings. I say.
Oh, you're
that's
a hero.
Huge. That's hero. Absolutely heroic.
That's amazing.
I try not to talk about it, but yeah, that's, I guess it is.
Must incredible.
Be hard. It's a hard hobby because you do have to find the burning buildings.
Amazing that's a hobby.
Yeah.
Seems like you're starting these fires.
Arsonist is another hobby.
You know who wouldn't be harmed by these fires is resistant to fire damage, Beverly Togold.
Oh, unfortunately, it's just Caldwell Tanner, and if I touch anything hot, I'll scream and cry. Oh.
You burned your tongue on your coffee before when we were testing the levels.
I did. That's why I'm crying right now.
You're crying.
Yeah, you're crying a lot.
Yeah. It's going to mess up the recording device.
Yeah, we should cancel the show.
I have a question. Do you
not
think
just
that?
This recording.
Do you think
you're
that?
Such a loser.
Do you think because Bev is resistant to fire that, like, spicy things don't affect him as much?
Oh, that's a great question. I think they still do.
Okay.
That's
so, like,
do
a ghost,
ghost
pepper would
challenge.
Still fuck him
I think
up.
I think Beverly is such a wiener about that type of thing that to him, now he just has a regular tolerance for it. Like, just a regular level of, oh, I don't usually eat spicy things. This is too spicy.
Bev can handle Frank's Red Hot, which is really not even spicy. It's more of a tang.
Yeah, but he cannot handle Cholula.
More of a vinegar.
So, Jake, we talked about this a little bit after we recorded the episode, immediately after we recorded, but now we're on mic, so let's bring the conversation on the record.
I'm assuming you're talking about the stray cat, right?
No. But we were talking about how you were disappointed to be trapped in the sword at first.
Yes.
Just thinking like, oh, I guess I have to sit out the whole fight.
I should have known that you had like a nice plan for me. That you were just like, going to trap me
like
in
like 70
sword.
Episodes in, just absolutely no faith in me. Just like, you want me to fucking sword you? Yeah.
Murph just hands you a card that says, fuck you.
I took my phone off airplane mode. I was texting my wife at my side. Just like, Murph's bullying me on the show. You trapped me in a freaking sword, babe.
Just loaded up Hearthstone.
Babe, come get me. Get on the airplane and come get me.
But roleplay-wise, that played out great. But also, I planned on it being a little bit more of an actual encounter because you ended up rolling a nat 20 on your persuasion check. So you were able to kind of kick her out of it a little earlier.
So you thought that I was going to spend like a few rounds actually like in combat with my mom, or she's like attacking me. And I'm
So this you guys kind of kicked Galad's ass a little bit. And
say it
hell
again.
Yeah, my teammates did.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Because I balanced it thinking that Galad would be fighting you guys and Hard One would be fighting this. She's based on the chain devil in the monster manual, but I made her harder. Hard One was going to be having a one-on-one fight with this like chain monster. And so, but that just kind of didn't come into play. You just like very quickly, got a fucking nat 20 to persuasion check.
What happened?
Like, you just and I believe the words you said to get her to that was like, "It's me. It's Elias. You saved the child, Ma." And it's like, how do you not?
Yeah, that really. It's nice when you say something that you think is cool, and the dice is like, "I'll allow that."
Yeah.
Like, because if I like role played like just like my you know what exactly what I've been waiting to say to my mom, and then I rolled a 3, I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
I've seen that happen in a private game before. Someone like really, really planned, like what they were gonna do. Like had this big whole thing, and then the dice just didn't favor them, and the DM didn't let them get away with it.
Yeah.
It was so tragic.
That's always like the hardest to kind of weave, I feel like. It's like when you like want it to happen so bad and the dice just aren't having it. Because then like, I feel like for the DM, that's a lot of pressure. Because like,
yeah,
I feel like you want it to happen too. And then you like, kind of have to
she,
like...
If it didn't convince her, then it's I, at least what my brain would be is like, well, hard one did good, but the spell is just too strong.
Yeah, totally.
You can kind of...
Right. I think you give advantage in those moments where you're like, the person's doing a good job. I want to reward this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen DMs be like, yeah, roll with an advantage.
Yeah, you had advantage on that persuasion check.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it didn't work, I would have just talked about how she kind of had these split versions of herself and, you know, just the magic of the... I would have maybe given you a hint to... the chains being part of what's kind of controlling her and what is, you know, making her cursed.
Right. But it's a real quick rose to throw at you. But your role play of my mother was absolutely, absolutely spot on. It was so good.
Thank you.
Playing somebody with, you know, create like split personalities all over the place. Must be daunting, but you did a very good job.
Well, thank you.
Chain Devil seems like the sort of mean thing that a teen would say to their mom.
Yeah.
You're being such a chain devil.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Jeffrey?
Let me free.
That doesn't make sense. It just told you to take out the trash.
But yeah, I ended up being happy that I was in the sword. The sword was a very cool place to spend that
time. And you got to find out kind of what really happened with your father.
Yeah. That was another fucking crazy thing for me just as a player, because like this entire time I've been thinking like, all right, my mission is to reunite my parents. And then you see it like, oh, okay. So the marriage wasn't perfect and it kind of fell apart there.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not the goal.
Not going to parent
trap
them.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's probably my rose, is I thought it was really interesting to have like, I definitely thought it was going to be like more of like a Hollywood ending of like, we reunite them. And then it was like, no, they like, he fucked up.
Yeah.
It was complicated.
Shit sucks.
Yeah.
He's got a bachelor pad in Cord's Great Hall.
Right, so actually everything worked out great for Elias Sr.
Dude, he's got like a fucking sick 5K flat screen.
Do you think Elias Sr. has fucked Gemma?
Oh my God.
That's rude. Fooled around with.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. I feel like he matched her on Tinder, across the heavens or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did it as a joke, and she's like, "Look at this old guy."
And he was doing a creepy thing where it's like, "Ha ha, I think you know my son."
Yeah. And then she didn't respond. He was like, "Hey, is this thing on?" ? And then she didn't respond. He's like, "Fuck you, you fucking bitch."
Oh God.
This is why girls like you.
Elias is a nice guy.
He's not an incel, right?
No, he's not an incel.
Dope.
I think the whole what I was kind of trying to do there, I feel like he is the not bad version of Hard One, but the one that is held back by his like pride and his like manliness and that kind of thing.
Kept the walls up.
He kept the walls up his whole life.
Yeah, so that's an example of what would happen if I kept the walls up. My temptations to keep the walls up and like lie and go with my pride and stuff are always tested by Beverly and Moonshine. So it almost shows you too like how valuable having friends are.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn. Oh, that's so sweet.
The power of friendship.
The power of friendship. Don't laugh. It's good.
No, I'm crying.
It's fucking rules.
And then meanwhile, you guys you guys were fighting Galad. You saw the various undead armies attacking the material plane, and you got to see the high elves and the crick elves kind of come together to help
such a
the
thick
halflings.
Sewed.
Yeah.
Such a thick sewed.
Yeah. Which is like, in this world specifically, the high elves don't do that very often.
No.
This was a rarity.
Yeah.
Mm. How much time did Galad spend getting the AV hook up for those window panels just right?
He had...
What's his dongle sitch?
He had Best Buy Geek Squad come by, and he harassed that teenager.
I thought you guys were supposed to be the best.
The aspect ratio is all wrong.
You're not geeks, you're a bunch of dweebs.
Get in the sword.
I love that it's canon now that Galad's favorite movie is Star Wars Episode 1.
Oh, yeah. Every
Wars across everywhere. Look at all the different battles.
We had like an extended riff about George Lucas in this episode. Oh, I forgot. We totally started this episode with us like having this weird banquet where we were pretending to be the grave robbers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I think that's a rose for me is Moonshine, like putting on the mask and getting in there and like trying to impress the other grave robbers by like making bugs come out of their face.
You were eating bugs. And it impressed the dwarven necromancers.
I mean, I feel like sometimes to blend in, you got to actually do something rather than, you know,
right.
Like I can cast infestation. What do necromancers eat? I don't know. They probably do something unsettling in the corner.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a wedding crashers thing is like fit in by standing out, you know?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because yeah, like anybody that's trying to like fucking infiltrate, they're not going to go in there with bravado.
Yeah.
You got to go in and eat bugs. That's Owen Wilson. That's Vince Vaughn.
Listen, man, you got to go in there, you got to eat a big bowl of worm spaghetti. Wow.
I mean, wow. Wow.
Wow, that's a big bug. Wedding crashers, but them eating bugs.
Hakuna Matata, you know? Slurp down those big, juicy critters.
I was like debating trying to do a Vince Vaughn impression, and I just don't know enough. I don't know enough words. He says daddy a lot. Look, champ. But I mean, that's all I got, really.
She looks kind of tired. It's like a tired voice. I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah.
I really like any time that somebody has put their neck out for us, speaking of Erdan, and we just instantly almost fuck it up by eating bugs.
But Erdan also, like, that was a really cool move when everybody vanished and he just made us invisible. That was fucking cool as well.
Did he cast greater invisibility on us? Could we have attacked? No, okay.
Because greater invisibility you can only do on one person.
Ah.
He had to do, like, a high-level invisible to
do
it on everybody.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing of, like, how to pace this Shadowfell thing. There's just been... It went from kind of zero to 100, like this episode, where it was just like you guys went from not being in the city to facing Galad. But it's like there's just been like how many fucking castles have you guys snuck into at this point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to give these guys an in and let's just do this Galad thing.
Right. When it was like we're invisible, now we're here. Like, oh, this is the battle.
Yeah.
It's on. It's on. Okay.
I was definitely expecting to have to like find the keymaster or something like that and like persuade the keymaster that we were really grave robbers and we needed the special private latrine. We had to get to Galad's special private latrine.
Operation, some kind of blank boy.
Yeah, right.
I do enjoy those though. I can't hate on that.
Actually, with the invisibility, it was Operation Blank Boy.
Whoa.
Now that you think about it.
Barely a boy at all.
nary a boy in sight.
Do we know how we sort of know that all of the monsters got held back, but like some, you said some cities were faring worse than others.
Yeah.
Right?
So you guys saw Frostwind seem to have done pretty well. They're the most like fortified. They've got their shit together. You can imagine by now. You guys kind of don't know how time has passed. So you'll kind of find out once you get to the material plane. But
oh, right. I forgot about that.
We got to get the fuck back to the material plane.
Is there a chance? So what we were seeing was real time, but there's a chance that we could get back and...
And it's been like 3 months have passed.
Damn.
Sure. Oh, that amount of time. One summer.
You guys don't know.
We don't know.
Hold him. I'll look at the screen.
But Frostwind seemed to have done pretty well. Iron Deep got it the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Gladeholm did not get attacked at all because you guys were the elves, and Galad kind of told you guys the plan, which was all the mages go down to the gate, kind of direct your team of monsters to your city, and no one was there to send them to Gladeholm. But Hillholm...
Very important question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Ruby Tuesdays still standing in Hillholm?
Decimated.
No!
Even the salad bar?
As it deserves to be.
So that I can yes and you, but also keep the world not completely bonkers.
Theala,
I will say
turned
their
it
use,
into a Chili's.
No, Theala hasn't been a hill home.
That's
so
the opposite
of used to be,
that's a freaking improvement, dude.
There used to be a lot of chain restaurants in Hill Home,
yeah.
But then they passed like kind of a town ordinance to make it back to
like
mom and pop shops.
Thing?
Yes, cool. Exactly.
Wow.
That's
so they got it back to kind of back to being the Shire from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So the Ruby Tuesday is actually closed like 5 years ago.
Is it just like some stupid pub now? Like, you know,
it's not stupid.
A mom and pop locally owned shop is, you think, a downgrade from Ruby Tuesdays?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think
the prancing pony from Lord of the Rings sucks, but Ruby Tuesdays rules.
Here's the thing.
The
Bev's
prancing
had...
pony is definitely a chain restaurant in Bohemia.
I think that Ruby Tuesdays is the worst only after Bennigan's.
Yo, well, dude.
Applebee's is by far
see
the
yourself
worst.
Out.
You like Bennigan's?
Dude, that Monte Cristo?
Ooh. Bennigan's got ice cream too, right?
You think Applebee's is the worst?
Applebee's is not good, but
absolutely the worst.
Applebee's has half-priced apps.
But what's the best one? One, two, three.
Chili's.
Yeah, dude. Baby back ribs. Houlihan's all right.
Houlihan's, I feel like, is a higher level.
Do we say TGI Fridays?
Fridays is
fucking
okay.
Up there.
Fridays, I think.
Bennigan's
is
better than Fridays
in quality. Mm. When I was a kid, I remember Fridays being good, and I sure it has nothing to do with life experience or getting older. But Fridays does not live up to my childhood memories.
See, I think Fridays is phenomenal. It was great when I was a kid, and I've gotten fucked up there as an adult, and it was also really fun.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to slot in an O'Charlie's over your Fridays because that was
O'Charlie's
was in my neighborhood.
Is good.
I've
yeah.
never heard of O'Charlie's.
O'Charlie's in the South. I went there on a road trip.
Caldwell.
Yeah, no, not with Caldwell. Me and Caldwell have separately gone to O'Charlie's. Is O'Charlie's still around?
Yes, the O'Charlie's in Nashville is still around. I don't know about the other ones.
I may have gone to your O'Charlie's.
Dude, I think
you
on our
Owen and Kevin go.
On our tour in September, we should only eat at it. We should eat at a different chain restaurant in every single city.
Oh, that's a good call.
Like Fridays in Atlanta.
We're literally at every place for one day. It's like our one opportunity to kind of see the city is to get a meal.
I definitely side with Jake on this.
Oh, you guys are awful.
You'll see the real Atlanta if you go to the TGI Fridays with me.
Fridays in every city. Friday every day is what I like to say.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy going to chain restaurants when you're you know, when you're on like a road trip or something and you're on the highway and then there's those weird little towns that are just it's not even a town, it's just like a collection of chain restaurants, gas stations,
right.
And
you have to
hotels.
Stop. You have to stop.
And you have to stop and you're like, this is awesome. There's a fucking Chili's right next to a hotel. I can go get drunk at Chili's and then just walk.
There's
home.
No choice. That's what you have to do.
And if it's a road trip where you have to keep on driving, it's so nice when there's like an In-N-Out and a Chipotle and Sonic. You could just like kind of swing and hit them all.
I've done that before, and
chicken McNuggets from I've gotten chicken nuggets from Wendy's and fries from McDonald's and that is fucking decadence, baby.
That I was gonna say, that sounds very luxurious.
I had a friend in college who used to do that and he called it a heart attack tour.
Oh, that's good.
I was in Roswell, New Mexico doing my drive across the country when I first moved out here. And I was with my friend Ben, and it was at a point in the trip when both of us were sick, but like Ben was too sick to get food, and I was just sick enough to go outside into the world.
What kind of illness did you guys have?
Just kind of like a general.
The idea of like two boys on a road trip together,
two
and both
sick
of them
boys.
Are sick.
It sounds like the worst road trip ever. You brought your dog, so you could only stay in places that the dog could stay. You had to stop constantly for your dog, and you were both sick. You made like no stops.
Two sick
like
boys
in Roswell, New Mexico, like so far from home, so far from anything.
Go on with your story. Okay. But this trip.
Both have
awful.
Food poisoning.
Yeah, was it food poisoning?
It was not. We were just two nasty boys, all gunked up. Probably something like a flu or a cold adjacent, you know, somewhere in that range. I think we both just had like a bad head cold, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it was like we were chaining the illness where like I was sick first. I was coming off the sickness, got Ben sick. So we was laid up in bed. We were in this town outside of Roswell, nothing to eat other than the Applebee's. So I roll up to the Applebee's, have myself a nice dinner by myself, and then bring back a chicken sandwich. We both sit in bed and eat chicken sandwiches and agree that this episode of Family Guy is kind of okay.
That actually sounds like the best night of your trip.
It's pretty
good. From everything I've heard about it.
We went to
the whole country in 4 days, and we stayed at Extended Stay America.
We got so sick.
Did you get a chicken sandwich for Harriet, your dog?
And she had kibble.
Oh, okay.
And some treats. Don't worry. Okay. And then the next day, we went to...
treated Harriet?
We made
How
her
did you
hunt.
Treat Harriet on this trip?
The next day, we went to the Area 51 Museum, and it was
Ooh,
great.
Ooh, that sounds great, though.
It was very fun. There's a lot of photo ops with a real funny little gray man. And they're real. They tell you that when you go.
I believe it.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to go on a road trip with me and just get sick as hell, I'm always open.
Speaking of road trips,
yeah,
my trip inside the sword.
I don't have a question
about it because we already talked about it, but I thought it was a really greasy transition.
Yeah, that was a good one. Sometimes you see a greasy transition and it's just like a little bit of it is dangling in front of you, and you got to grab it before it slips away.
I had to grab it. I drove it off a goddamn cliff.
Can I save it?
And I hit a bend
against the cliff.
Yeah.
Speaking of road trips, seems like we've got our pick of where to go next after Shadowfell.
Oh.
Very nice.
I mean, I think we definitely go to Hillholm because
your
people there,
bunch of
high elves and crick elves there. We kind of got to make sure everyone's feeling okay.
Yeah.
Well, we also have Kaka still missing. And I know like that's been weighing heavily on everybody.
Oh, and Ryan, your ram.
Yeah. Well, Ryan,
how's
I know
he,
where Ryan
how's he
is.
Doing? That was a couple episodes ago, but your interaction with Erdan, where Erdan knew that Ryan was dead by the look in your eyes.
I sent his spirit.
Quiet, Erdan. We both have secrets, you son of a bitch.
I really want for us to get to Akarat and like, you know, we're like in the seven hells or the nine hells, and like Akarat is like standing on this throne made of flames, and then Kaka just lands on his shoulder.
Oh my God. I would be devastated.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
That would be cool because I want that for Kaka.
And then
Kaka, I want that status.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It would be a better life than you gave him.
Totally. Kaka's like,
he would have glowed up.
What's up, bitch?
I gave him a great life. I sent him on a glorious mission.
You sent him on a glorious mission. The same way that if I said, hey, Caldwell, will you go to the CVS across the street? Thank you.
I think Caldwell would rise to the occasion.
But it's also, there's no CVS across the street.
By airship, it took you like a week almost to get to the Frigid North, to get to Frostwind, and you guys got there. You sent a bird to find Meemaw, not knowing where Meemaw was, like a week north of
land. They say as the crow flies, so I figured Caldwell would have a shortcut.
Let's roleplay it.
Caldwell, will you go to the CVS across the street?
Madam, it would be my honor.
Okay, and then he just goes, and there is no CVS across the street.
But there,
so
and also you
wanders
move.
Around.
You go to another plane.
And I'm just texting you saying, like, the quest proceeds swimmingly.
I really think...
No, I also took your phone, so you can't communicate with me.
I have learned to navigate by starlight.
And now imagine if Caldwell actually went and got to the CVS.
Yeah.
How glorious.
And then
that
I'm like, wait, you didn't tell me what you wanted.
But you know what it would be though? Because we're going to see Meemaw before you ever see Kaka. So if he meets up with you in like 3 months and he's like, I have a message from Meemaw, you'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, I saw her.
Right. We're good, bud. He goes back all haggard, scars everywhere.
I have braved the fires.
Yeah, he's back in the Frigid North.
I friggin' saw Meemaw, dude. We're way past that.
Seriously, you're still on this quest?
Go eat a friggin' worm,
That's
man.
Embarrassing.
Can we back up a bit? I want to ask about Galad.
Yeah.
Can you reveal like what stats you use for him?
Yes, I actually used some stats from Kobold Press's Tome of Beasts.
Ooh.
I changed up some stuff, but based on the
Was
Twilight
like a,
King,
ooh.
Something like that. But ooh. He basically uses like moonlight to like teleport and stuff. Galad never really got to do a lot of his
oh, yeah,
cool
his,
stuff.
His dying thing was sprinting away.
Yeah. Yeah, he. Yeah,
end.
I could have. I. This is a bit of a thorn. Having you guys have to chase him down to kill him would have been so funny. And technically, I could have had him. He raised those shadow beams.
Mm.
which were based on this character from the Cobalt Press's thing, that you can step into one beam and come out the other one. So instead of taking...
Oh, that's why he made those.
So he was running away, but I didn't take the disengage action for some reason because I think I was doing a dash, but I wouldn't have had to do a dash. I could have just ran, beamed out like 100 feet, and then just ran his speed down into the city and had you guys like chase it. I really regret there not being a comical thing of like Galad like pushing two skeletons over who are like using a food cart.
Galad holding a newspaper in front of his face.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, or I could have, oh man, I regret not having him just like bust through the window or something, just like take a full disengage and psh, out into the sea.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been awesome. Let's re-record.
Yeah. Oh, because then it could have been like all the monsters that were left, I guess, would have just like hyenaed him, like Scar and the Lion King.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, they would just ripped him to shreds.
Wow. This is a better ending. Let's retcon it.
Is he really dead now?
It seems like it. His head is chopped off.
We're gonna just stomp on his head till it's mush.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not putting on a keychain anymore.
What about Pendergreens? Is he still in my belly chain?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh, and wait, you said, I forget, you said we could try to take him to the material plane, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just in a gem. You can absolutely take him with you. Oh, it's kind of, you know, Lydia.
He's part of our party.
Lydia has the sword now, and she has declared herself the Dark Lord of Shadowfell.
Yeah. Are there
any running unopposed.
Are there any spells that can turn someone from evil to good?
No, just like
there's
therapy.
Some literature.
And, yeah. I think you just really got to talk it out with him.
It's just going to take time.
That's such a funny quest idea, though.
Just like, at the very end of the show, just get him to just be a shithead instead of being evil.
There was a time when we wanted Balnor to run the dwarfenage, right? That was like, maybe that's Pendergreen's thing now.
Or he becomes like a slumlord.
I'm just outside of Hill Home.
But if you think about it, right? Okay, so maybe what we're striving for isn't like the triumph of good, but rather a return to balance.
Mm.
So he could be a shithead on the spectrum, helping balance out some of the really good people.
That's true. As long as it's, the balance is what's important.
Yeah.
Because if it's too, if he was a really powerful shithead.
Yeah.
So but you need someone that everyone can boo.
Yeah.
he should be like kind of a scummy mechanic or something.
You guys could always, in a real pinch, just see what happens if you're like, fuck, we're going to die. Pendergreens, come out.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I feel like we have that horn of plenty we never use. We should probably use that
horn of Valhalla. But no, the thing is, like, I always have it written down on my piece of paper to be like, okay, I know that if we need this in a pinch, but like, it is for a very specific fight. You know, it is for like, if we're getting overpowered by a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
What does that horn do again?
It like summons all those like ghost pirates, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It would be good for like an escape, I guess. So.
Yes, which is why I've like had it like written at the top of my page to be like, remember you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that there's been a ton of moments that I think that we like messed up by not using it.
Is there like, how do you feel about that item? Because it does feel like we could have gotten out of some scrapes with it.
Is that a one-use item?
It's once every 7 days.
Oh, okay.
So you guys, it has now been past 7 days, certainly. Mm-hmm. So you guys could use it again.
Yeah.
But overall for the campaign, it doesn't worry me because anything that was...
Could it have saved Hardwon from becoming a vampire?
You guys probably could have won that fight. Because you guys... I mean, you guys
could have run away, too.
When you guys... Yeah. Yeah.
Because I definitely didn't have it written at the top of my page then.
Yeah, if you guys had blown the horn then you could have, they would have equaled out the vampire spawn probably at the very least.
We also should have blown it at the second fight at the Red Fen where we were all like, we're going to die at the Red Fen.
Oh, yo, that would have saved JV.
That would have felt good too.
Yeah.
Although JV got to save Rosa in the end.
JV had a solid death.
Got a solid death.
Here's a question though, would it work?
And he's with Gemma now.
Yeah. JV be fucking.
Don't worry about JV.
JV's good. JV is very good.
Would it work
Both
in Shadowfell?
And JV have each other's juices in their beards.
They're kind of like the dwarf daddies. They live in the horn.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Any more about the juices?
That was all.
You need not say more. A glean indeed.
Yeah. Shampoo does not exist in Morden's Forge.
Listen, and you don't need it.
And you don't need it.
You are just, yeah, it's hot. It just gets crusty. Let's talk more about Hillholm.
Yeah.
I am very terrified to go
Why?
There because I have, have a lot of conversations to have with people.
But aren't you excited to see Erlen?
I am excited to see Erlen, except for the fact that I have to, like, confess to Erlen that, like, I kissed another boy.
Oh, you have to confess to Erlen that you kissed another boy? You take that to your grave, brother.
I think I do. This is like...
Talk to Hardwood about it.
Yeah. Definitely will. And I will, like, take the advice with a big grain of salt. Yeah, we should... I mean, like... I definitely will have this role play with Moonshine and Hard One at the top of the episode. I'm excited about that, actually.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's like been a while since we've gotten to like touch on it. But yeah, I don't know. And like I am more so, I feel like I'm not too worried about that, but I am like extremely worried about like having to tell my mom like essentially that my dad is like has given himself to a Dark Lord. I feel like I'll lie, but like I don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I'm getting ready and prepping next session and everything, it's like I'm realizing almost everyone you guys know is in Hillholm right now.
That's crazy. That's really fun. That's a fun. Like, I mean,
you know what? You're right. Let's go to Irondeep.
Yeah. there's a crew.
This is my old room.
No one's here.
Just a little dwarf.
I live here now.
I had run of this place.
Whoa, you still have a Ruby Tuesdays here. Incredible.
It used to be a Chili's, kid. This town's gone to shit.
Is that old can't grow a beard by sixth grade Hard One?
I attacked the guy with my hammer. Funny to just go back to
Hard One, no beard. That's what we called him.
I just want to go back to kick the shit out of people.
This is the waiter at the Ruby Tuesdays haranguing Hard One.
Yeah. Hey, me and him went to middle school together. This guy could barely grow a mustache.
It's also funny if I did grow like a pretty good beard as a sophomore in high school, which is really early for most humans.
Yeah. It is.
Everyone's
impressive.
Like, what's up, new beard?
Oh. Can we just get some rolls, please?
It's only down to my belly button.
Roll for how good Hard One's beard was.
Absolutely. I need you to cast something
in high
on
school.
Me.
17. He got pretty good by the end.
I bet it was like really patchy though. It was like one of those beards that's like just kind of a like long Amish scarf of a beard.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Just like half a tire on the bottom of your face.
Sounds solid.
Yeah, you get it really long, and then you have to kind of brush it to go over the patchy parts.
Yep.
Oh, the beard comb over. Yeah. That's actually what I do with my beard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? I never thought about that. There's so much beard insecurity that I never think of.
There is a lot of beard insecurity.
Yeah. As someone who cannot grow a very good beard.
Yeah, you guys have never.
Yeah, I can't really grow one.
But have you ever even tried? You guys both have like stubble.
I kind of get like an Abraham Lincoln thing going on. It doesn't really connect very well. Yeah, the stash.
I just get it. Always looks like I'm trying to grow a goatee if I have because I only grow stubble in the goatee area.
Yeah, that's where it grows in the first and thickest for me.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I shave, somebody will be like, "Oh, you have a goatee." Like I have to have a beard to prove that I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, if I just like don't shave for a while, they'll be like, "Growing out the goatee." It's like, "No, I just didn't shave."
Maybe I should just do a goatee. Fuck it.
Let's all grow goatees. That's the new Patreon stretch goal.
I tell you what, if our Patreon goes down to zero, we'll all grow goatees. It's the opposite of a stretch goal.
It's a threat goal.
New Patreon tech goal. Don't cancel your account or we're all gonna fucking grow goatees.
Yeah, we'll do if we lose a certain amount of patrons.
Yep. We'll just start posting pictures, like really close up pictures of our goatees growing in.
Yeah, selfies that we're looking down on the camera. It's just gonna be mostly neck.
And we won't post episodes, we'll just do
that is instead of episodes.
When you open up the MP3, it just it laughs at you and then turns into a picture.
It's us describing our goatees. And we'll start releasing them on Tuesdays. We'll call them Goatee Goose Days.
Wow, looking full. It's especially full under the chin. That's where you want it to be nice and flush. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of how some people can't grow beards. Okay, wait. Actually, this transition didn't work. Hard one. Do you think that you're going to reincarnate? I was trying to say, like, there are some races that probably can't grow a good beard. What if you became that?
Right. Yeah. That was a solid transition. Okay, cool. It was nice and squeaky.
Thanks.
I'm gonna reincarnate. I've been so nervous about it, too. I'm so scared.
Are you going to do it, like, in the presence of your mom?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
Hmm. That seems like a real gamble.
Yeah, it's like a lot of pressure.
Be like, hey, Mom, so good to see you. Now step back.
Well, check this out, Mama.
I'm a gnome.
No!
She's like, it's not him being a gnome that makes me, like, disappointed. It's how he handled it.
Such a coward.
Yeah. Please.
This is not the son I raised. And it's not. You didn't raise me. I was raised in a fucking dwarf.
Yeah, your pants are the same size.
I think I'm gonna close that loop and then I'll reincarnate.
Okay,
nice and in the safety of our own
of Hill Home.
Oh, of our own Hill Home.
Yeah.
As you burn to death from the sun.
Where do you? Oh yeah, Jesus.
Oh, we can put the scuba suit. Step through. Why don't we turn the scuba suit into an umbrella?
Yeah Murph. It's probably about ready.
All that you need to do is tint the face mask. Because it's already, like, impenetrable by, like,
here's
water.
The deal.
UV can't get through that.
We're going to make a deal with Pendergreens to turn the scuba suit into an umbrella.
Yeah.
So we will have entered a demonic contract, but we'll have a perfect vampire umbrella.
And then I'll take that to one of the chain restaurants in Hill Home. All right, Brian, let's play.
If you wanted to, you
Murph,
could.
Murph, you prepared a ground round in Hill Home, right?
You could bring it up with Pendergreens. Pendergreens might be able to help you out.
Really? Mm. In what way?
He would take my soul. He would give you the Deadeye treatment.
That works.
All right.
Deadeye was cute.
That was pretty cool. We could see his guts and everything. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Where do you want to do it in Hill Home?
Well, I think I have to do it before we go to Hill Home.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that over myself.
Yeah, I guess it depends where we go after we leave my mom. But I feel like we're going to go back to the ship or something.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to get to... Oh, wait. There's all these portals right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we do have to do it in front of my mom.
Yeah, or we could go to, like, run a hotel or an Airbnb.
We could
Airbnb.
Just, like, ask her to turn around, though.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I could just go to a private room.
Yeah.
I think that's what we should do. I don't want to tell her that I'm even being... she probably sees that I'm a vampire, right?
Yeah. You guys talked about it.
But she also, like, has been in Shadowfell so long, so I'm sure, like, being a vampire isn't, like, shocking to her, and she's probably met...
She was a chain devil.
She's a revenant slash, chain monster slash... She's been a million...
But actually, more importantly, she's your mother. Yeah. She loves you whatever you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time I've hidden a problem from my mom, it's, like, gotten worse, and then I tell her, and then she's so helpful. So I'm talking about Jake.
Yeah. I think you should make it like a birthday party or like a bar mitzvah where we get everyone together and we have like a big curtain or something that you go behind and we perform it and like the curtain comes aside and it's like, it's me. I'm a gnome now.
My reincarnation party.
Yeah.
My reincarnate.
You guys want to talk roses and thorns?
Yes, please.
We already talked about it a bit, but
yeah, I said my rose was already the Harwan's parents had a complicated relationship.
Yeah, that and that scene that you played, that was a huge rose for me. Watching it and then like seeing that it loops and like knowing that I'm like trapped in this crazy hell that my mother's been living in.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned my rose was Emily. Casting infestation. I guess
seeing Egwene too. That was a little.
Yeah.
Seeing
Egwene coming to Roland. That was cool.
And the volley of arrows flying over the ship.
That was cool.
I think my thorn was that it was really tough. Like I felt really torn while we were fighting, just like fighting Galad and not going and doing something about the portal. It made me feel. Like I didn't know what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like you wanted to just be out there in the thick of it defending.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to like just try to like I almost wanted to like try to like counter-close the portal
yeah.
or something like that.
It's always hard when, like, you know what your role is. Like, it's clearly, like, we were supposed to go and, like, take down Dalad because there was just too many wizards for us to contend with.
Yeah.
But it sucks when, like, you know that there is a danger happening that you can't control.
But it's also harder because you're a spellcaster. So there's, like this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
like,
when the portal opened,
I'm like, I have an axe. There's nothing I can do.
I guess, like, it's not even a thorn, but just, like, seeing everyone in Hillholm and being like, oh, no, like, their fate is, like, out of our hands, more or less. Like, seeing the, like, attack begin, that felt, like, genuinely bad in a way that was good.
Yeah.
I had a really, really small thorn.
Ooh.
Emily, you tossed me my axe? Is that what happened? Or somebody tossed me my axe.
Yeah. Or you had your axe and then you taught. So Moonshine pulled you out of the sword.
Yeah.
You and your mother.
Oh, I already had the axe?
Yeah, because the lightning, you got like a sign from your father. You guys talked about how, you know, your father was like complicated and things like that. And then you got like a sign and then you guys flew towards it and then Moonshine was able to pull you out.
Oh, so never mind. I don't have a thorn. For some reason, I thought that my axe was thrown to me. Then I threw it to my mom, and I thought it would have been really cool if my axe was thrown to me, and I just didn't make a move for it, and my mom caught it.
So retcon that as well?
Right on.
If when we make the movie, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know that move in soccer when, like, there's two people running at the goal, there's a cross, and, like, one person kind of just, like, does a fake out to, like, and they just let the ball skip through their feet so the other person get a goal. That's
anytime
what I want to do.
Anyone does anything in soccer, I'm so impressed because, like, I've played soccer 3 times and I get so tired. You have to run so much.
I've talked about it on the short rest, but I've been playing my father's pickup game whenever I go home to visit him. And it's, there's some young people there, but there's a lot of really old dudes there mm-hmm. that, like, score on me at will.
Are you a goalie?
I do, nobody has, like, any set positions, but the older guys play defense, and the younger guys play, like,
halfback.
Yeah, so I'm, forward. Like, sort of in the wing, and I do both. It's like, so, like, when the ball's going up the field, I run up, and then when the ball's coming back, I run back.
So you're a halfback.
Yeah. But then there's some old dudes that just kind of, like, they play offense, but they just stay.
Yeah, that's offense,
And they're fucking snipers, and I run back, and they just, like, dribble around me, and kick it in, and then everybody looks at me like I'm an asshole. And I am. And I disappointed my father.
I just remembered a thorn. Pawpaw went down.
Oh.
And he got, wasn't he like in the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really
Didn't
sad.
Galad kick him?
Yeah.
Yep. That's how you know that Galad is just like unforgivably evil.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, Pendergreens would never do that.
No.
Oh, cute possum.
Pendergreens would steal Papa for himself.
See, Pendergreens would do. That's the kind of shit that we need in the world.
You would see Papa pop up on Craigslist.
She's like, I got a sick dog here. $600 or best offer. Incredibly strong dog. For sale.
I guess seeing Papa get hurt made me feel a little bit like, oh no, did I what world did I get him into?
Yeah, he's pretty strong now.
Does a mother
he
let
fucked up
her
Glad,
son?
Though. Like he yeah. fucked up Glad.
I know, but
I had to go. Scary. So I had to. I knew at that point that Glad was gonna lose, so I had to knock out Balnor and kick Papa. Just like spinning and giving
your
middle
song.
Fingers as I fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
You absolutely know our buttons.
Yeah. It's true. Truly, I made him not as difficult as a lot of other enemies because I knew that fucking Hard One was going to be out of a lot of it.
Yeah.
And you guys just kicked his fucking ass.
What did we do right?
You guys are just
good rolls?
You guys are just, no, it's not even just good rolls. It's just like you guys are good. You guys know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you so much.
Like,
yes. Wow.
You guys all know your characters well.
I didn't even mean to set you up for that, but it felt so good to hear.
Yeah, give us a rose.
I'll give a rose, role-playing rose to my son, Jake. A player rose to my sons, Emily and
I like the idea that I'm your son when we play D&D. I'm your wife in real life, but your son when we play
D&D.
And
you know what? That's beautiful. Hey, Emily,
and I'm your side piece in real life.
Right.
Your son in D&D.
And I'm Caldwell's mom in LA.
I wish.
Cool, guys. We're going to wrap things up. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week with another episode and another short rest. Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, thanks so much for listening, y'all. Get ready to roll them hill homes.
Rolling with the hill homes. Yeah.